As I'm coming into time together with all of you, I'm especially excited because this week is the first week where I'll get to interweave some of my experiences and what I'm learning in the scripture with someone from the congregation. Jeannie Jacobs is going to be sharing with us this morning as well. And I'm really excited to see and let all of you see and reflect on how all those things that God's done in some people's lives and in other people's lives do come together in a beautiful new tapestry that's like what our congregation will be. Have any of you had a teacher when you were growing up, or maybe even in a class that you've done recently, Bible study, don't want to throw anybody under the bus, but who had something about him that was just like a little bit funky, and as soon as you knew it, it was impossible not to associate that with them all the time? Yeah? People have someone coming to mind? Yeah? So I had a calculus teacher when I was in high school. Also happened to be a soccer coach for me for part of my time in high school. But the thing that I learned about him that was kind of unusual was in his capacity as my calculus teacher. Every single summer, for all of the classes that he taught, what he did with part of his time off is a few hours every morning. If he was on vacation, he'd go out to the pool or the beach, whatever it might be. If he'd be at home, he said he'd go to in his office. And he would go through every single question in the textbooks and solve every single problem in every single possible way he could think of and write it all out so that then when he went to teach it during the year, and students with different learning styles, different ways of approaching the problem might start work and get stuck and be worried about it, he'd be able to go and look and kind of compare his work of all the different ways that he did it with theirs and hopefully find a way to get them unstuck and keep things going and not just in his own brain have one way of looking at the problem. Which I think is a really amazing thing to do as a teacher, but it still is weird to me to think to somebody every morning, like getting up excited to do math more ways than you even need to do it in the first place. But as I learned in some other interactions with him, I think that there was something in his personality that was there as well, not just in terms of the desire to be helpful to his students, but in what that meant for how he looked at and interacted with the world that was really helpful to me. See, I mentioned that he was also my soccer coach. I grew up playing soccer mainly. That was my really big sport. I started playing club and travel when I was 10 years old. Got into it a lot. I had two younger brothers. They did too. Then when I got to high school, I was 1 year behind at my position. Three players that were amazing. They were all state, even nationally recognized at their position very early in their careers. And so I played mainly on the JV team and then would sit the bench behind them during varsity games. And, you know, I felt like I was a pretty good player. I had played a lot, but I would fully admit and acknowledge that they were better than me and that I was not going to crack into that starting lineup. And so again, I had good experiences with the team, getting to travel around still with the players. The team was really good. My junior year, they won the state championship, but again, I didn't feel really super involved in it because there were those great players ahead of me that were really doing most of the work. I played more on JV, got to keep my touch up, and that helped me play well with my club team too in the spring. But it was frustrating to feel like I didn't get to be as involved all the time. And so I started looking for other opportunities as well to get involved in stuff. And I had some friends who were going to join the volleyball team because one of them, their dad was the coach. I'd never played volleyball before, but I thought that might be a fun thing to do. They were having trouble getting enough players, and so it seemed like it's a good opportunity to get in there and make sure I didn't have to worry about people that I was going to get stuck behind. And so then as I went into a little further into high school, I started doing that volleyball, and that actually went pretty well. My junior year, it turns out I think in Ohio there's not a lot of people who do volleyball, so if you're just a little bit experienced athletically, you can jump in pretty well. I actually got on the all-conference team, and our team was playing really well, better record than we'd had in many, many years at the high school in volleyball. And so I decided going into my senior year, even though all those players were graduating on the soccer team, that I wanted to commit myself more to the volleyball team. I felt that was somewhere it turned out I was really excelling. The team was doing things they'd never done before. And if I could practice more with that team in the fall instead of doing soccer, that maybe we could really have something special come together and I could be a really big part of that. And it was a hard decision not to continue with soccer, but I knew I probably wasn't going to do sports in the future anyway, and this felt like an exciting possibility. Unfortunately, as it turned out, that year, during soccer season, after I'd already decided not to play, further into the winter, then into the spring, lots of things started going wrong. The coach actually was kind of a weird guy. He'd complain a lot to refs all the time. He could be a hard person in running practices or interacting with the players. There was one player who ended up quitting during fall conditioning because he had to show up late to a practice because he was attending his grandfather's funeral. Even told the coach that he was going to need to do that. He'd been out of school all day, but he was willing to come back to practice. Was obviously feeling very, you know, sad and mindful of his grandfather. But the coach said, because you're late, anybody who's late, you got to run a bunch of laps. And he kind of said it in a confrontational way. This player was, you know, could react emotionally a lot, punched a wall, just in frustration and feeling like, why don't you understand what I'm going through? And broke his hand and actually ended up being out almost the whole season. Other players that he treated in certain ways that had been friends of mine also ended up quitting partially from that, partially from frustration, from some of the other things. And so suddenly all these people that we thought we were building something together felt like they were being pushed out, and I was watching them all leave. On top of that then, I had a friend who'd been like my best friend in elementary school. We'd actually had a falling out that was really hurtful for me. Then this volleyball team ended up being a way that we could be reconciled. I was excited about it. He made a mistake on a school trip right before the season and got caught with a beer in the room in his hotel room with a friend of his for the thing. And so he was going to be suspended for part of the season. Not a week after that was announced, and the coach actually gave my friend more of a suspension than was required by the school code because he wanted to say, you know, we have to be more responsible. His son, who was on the team, went on a trip to OU to visit his cousin for a college visit and kind of check out that school. He had a physical the next morning where he was going to have his drug test. So he got to tell his dad, yeah, I drank and smoked some pot with my cousin while I was on the visit. So that's going to come up on my drug test. So his dad decided that because technically he wasn't caught, but because when he asked his son, is anything going to come up when we do this? That he had disclosed that he had done something, and so actually found a way to have a loophole and not be suspended at all, and also made his son the captain. So there are all these things piling up. I just felt like this just does not feel like what I thought it was going to be. I plugged away through. The team did not play as well as we thought. Kind of the sense of disconnection and honestly, like lack of respect that I was having for the coach just kept piling up and piling up and piling up. And it was getting, you know, further into almost when I would graduate. And I was really wrestling with this because it was a big time commitment. There were other relationships that I also had that I was not getting to spend as much time with them. I'm looking at the end of my high school career. I was going to go off for college. I wanted to keep those connections and just felt like this was getting in the way. But I also, as much as I was frustrated with the team, with the coach, with how things were going, felt like that was a commitment that I had made. But I was struggling with it a ton. And as it so happened, one day, kind of while we were working on by ourselves in calculus class with Mr. Dosky was his name, my funky calculus teacher who had coached me before in soccer, saw me distracted, not really working on anything, and came over and said, you know, something's up. You want to talk to me about anything that's going on? And so I told him, I was honest, I said, I'm just hating being on the volleyball team right now, but I don't want to be a quitter. But I feel like I'm missing out on all these things that would be really important for me going forward. And I think it came from his ability to look at problems from lots of different angles. That he had a way of relating to me and talking to me about it that I found really helpful. And he said, you know, Rob, it was really hard for us for you not to come back to the soccer team. We understood how you were feeling. We would have loved to have you be there for your senior season. But you talked to us about it. And I saw that you were stepping forward into something that was really exciting and meaningful for you, even though you were leaving something else behind. You weren't really quitting because the season hadn't started yet. You told us ahead of time. But technically, you could see it as you kind of stepped away from that, too. But we understood and we thought it was good. I was excited for you that this thing that had seemed to be going well would be something that you were really pouring yourself into. And he said, to be honest, if you decide to step away from the volleyball team, you will be a quitter. You can't get away from that. You can't get away from how your teammates or other people might perceive you about it. But you also have to think about, what are the things that are most important to you? What are the other things that you're trying to build that this may also be getting in the way of? And so I would say, if you are trying to step into something that is really important to you, that you might have to accept the consequences of making another decision to pursue that thing that you feel is most important. So if you feel like there's something more important, don't pretend that there's not consequences to your decision, but you have to be willing to boldly step in that direction too. Like you felt like you were doing in not pursuing soccer this year and trying to make volleyball work. And I'm sure some of you, this is still part of owning that decision, have different feelings about how you would navigate those circumstances. But for me, that helped me think about, yeah, what would I do if I didn't do volleyball? As I'm going into my new season of life, preparing myself to go away from home for college, want to have important relationships that are set up to continue and be meaningful for me that way, would I be stepping into something meaningful? And I really did end up feeling like that was where I needed to invest my time in myself. And so I did leave the volleyball team. And there were people that were really hard on me for it. And to some degree, you know, that was fair for them. But I had a group of friends that I hadn't been able to spend as much time with all my other activities. There were other folks like me who had been involved in lots of school stuff, didn't necessarily end up fitting just in one kind of group of friends otherwise, though. We did music and band and sports, and some of them did theater. We were, most of us, pretty good in school, and so did some academic stuff, too. And they ended up being so formative for me already, but then that much more when I got to really invest in them, because there are people from all sorts of different faith denominations, like I said, all different activities that they were invested in, all different types of backgrounds and ethnicities that were in this group of friends, even people who were of different faiths or of no faith but really loved to discuss philosophy or things like that. So we'd have these deep, meaningful conversations. And had I not been able to spend more time with them and lean into those relationships and how they interacted with me, I feel like I wouldn't have been able to see a breadth of the way that God works in the world, and the types of people and all the different ways that we can be and follow the things that God cares about. No matter if we come from different backgrounds, no matter if we have slightly different perspectives on God and different faith, in different denominations of Christian faith, even in different faiths where God might be revealing something that when we're used to kind of Western Christianity, we miss something that God has done and that we can take hold of and reaffirm within the orthodoxy of Christianity, but can shake us out of things where we might be imposing stuff on God from our own human perspective and that was being missed. And that ended up preparing me for the rest of my life, and I'll tell more stories later, where when I went to college, I wasn't sure if I would go into seminary, I wasn't sure if I would go into ministry. I had a hard time at first deciding after college, where grad school I would go to. Would I go to seminary? Would I go to law school? Would I go to another grad school to do cultural studies? But the ability to know how to commune with God, to look at my surroundings, to find relationships around me to support me, and see even if something might be unexpected, that I could follow that path and see God with me there and have meaning brought to it. I don't think I would have been able to get through those steps, through the steps of my different professional calls as a pastor and as someone in community organizations, if I hadn't had a moment early in my life where someone helped me see, yeah, all decisions have consequences. You are not in control of all those consequences. It may not be easy. But if you're pursuing something that's worthwhile, I believe God would go with me and help me pursue that most important decision, even if there were things to leave behind that were really difficult or that might even put aspects about me into question. And so our verses today have some of that tension, right? The verses in Ecclesiastes have the main theme of letting go of things. We're not in control of everything. We'll put things out into the wind or into the waters, and what actually comes back, we don't completely know. When a child is being ready to be welcomed into the world, we're excited, but we don't know what will that child's journey be, what will their personality be. But we step into it still in faith. We don't get complacent and just look off and, you know, at the stars or just out into the air and let things completely pass us by. But we have to accept that even as we try to put effort into things, that the results are not just up to us and may even sometimes be disappointing. In Timothy, Paul encourages his young protege to take hold of eternal life, a life that's almost even beyond what we can really fathom. Completely offered freely and in control of God, not of us. And yet that there's still that assertiveness. Just because you aren't in control of all the things that God is going to be doing, that doesn't mean that you don't have to find a way to have a role and step into something and be excited about who God is making you to be, your eternal life that you're getting to participate in. And the balance between those two things is really hard to discern a lot of times. Sometimes even to be willing to do that. Some of us may feel like we're more inclined to lean really strongly to, I want to take hold of it. I want to see all the variables, I want to control all the variables, and then I want to be able to measure when it's done, did things turn out the way that I wanted, and then I'll know if it's a success or a failure. Some of us may want to really, like, you know, go with the flow. Don't try to impose yourself too much. You never know what's going to happen. If something happens that you didn't expect, you'll probably get totally thrown off, so you got to make sure you're flexible. But we can also hear how going too far to one side or the other all the time would be harmful, would make us miss something that God is doing. And so sometimes, somehow we have to feel how to have that balance and how to walk with a God who both is in control of more things than we are and yet also calls us to a profound life where we get to join God in doing things that make a difference for people. So I was talking to Jeannie some about these verses and hearing what she had to say, and I think she has some beautiful ways of lifting up how she's seen this work out in her life and also in the life of this church that I haven't gotten to see and appreciate yet. And so I look forward to hearing what she has to say.
And I've decided I'm going to follow Rob's lead and come down here and... because the choir sees enough of my smiling face. They spend a lot of time with me. And the next thing I'm going to do is get comfortable. And many of you know that in my job that I like, I am a yoga teacher, and I teach barefoot. So for a few minutes, I'm just going to kick my shoes off and get comfortable. In our first verse that we read today from the Ecclesiastes, the main focus was we are not fully in control of what happens to us. I'm here to tell you, friends, I am living proof of that. Some of you know, I'll go a little bit further back in my past. I lost my mom when I was 37. I have since then had three stepmothers. I'm on my third sister-in-law. Fortunately, I have two kids. I have a husband that I've been married to for 28 years. We've had our ups and downs, and we've had job loss, we've had parental loss, we've had all kinds of things. We're still together. In our women's Bible study, we're reading a book called It's Not Supposed to Be This Way by Lisa Turkhurst. Lisa's marriage fell apart. She got cancer, all within a very short amount of time. So she was alone, fighting cancer, and looking to God saying, why? What's going on here? Why is this? And then she turned it around and said, no, God, what are you trying to teach me from all of this? Well, she's got some very, very good passages here that I'm just going to share with you. Sometimes to get your life back, you have to face the death of what you thought your life would look like. And this is my favorite, and we actually talked about this one again this morning. God loves me too much to answer my prayers at any other time than the right time, and in any other way than the right way. So even when sometimes if we may not necessarily know how to pray, He knows what we need, and He's there for us. And I lived it this week. He was there for me, and He was there for my daughter. And this one's really been speaking to me. When you live slow for a season, the Son being Jesus, has access to the parts of you normally covered up by everyday put-ons. Pulling in another verse, this isn't one we did today, but this one definitely fits in with the whole flow, from Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. He's got us, friends. He's got us. From Timothy, the challenge is, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. How strong is that? Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called. Because no matter how dark our present is, God is there. He loves us. He gave us the tools we need to be good humans and to gain eternal life. And in kind of trying to tie these readings together, God is good. We know that. He gives us guidance. He sent His Son to set a good example. But then again, God also gives us free will. So we may not always follow that example. And sometimes we need a nudge, we need a reminder that He's there. And so it is us to find the balance. Find peace. Put away, even for a few minutes, the busyness of life. As most of you know, because I only talk about it a little bit, I teach yoga. It has made an enormous difference in my life. One of the guiding principles of yoga is to let go of that which does not serve you during your practice. And that's basically what we're talking about here. Letting go of the negative. It's very easy to take that off the yoga mat, out the front doors of the church. And church family, that's my challenge to you this week. Church is more than an hour on Sunday. Church is how we live our lives. And God is with us when we exit those doors. He's got us. He's got us when we don't even know it and when we're not even asking for it. So take this lesson and today's message with you when you leave. And thank you.
If you want to stay here with me. We're going on this exciting new journey together as a community. I'm so glad to be here with you to hear the stories of all the ways that God has walked with you on your journey already.